When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to the Charlton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with a very excited SE7 podcast. We're all excited. I'm excited. I'm joined by Paul Sullivan, Martin Adkins and Ollie Cook to take us forward for the next hour. The international break, well, it's been and gone, and good riddance to it, because the real football returns this weekend. Charlton take on Derby. We're going to be talking to Richard Cusack all about that game on the weekend. How will Charlton feel after that international break? Can they continue this brilliant run of form they're on since the season started? The Addicts are truly doing the job here in the Championship. Maybe they're no longer flying under that radar. But the big news this evening, if you didn't know, if you hadn't heard, Lyle Taylor will be joining us on the show this evening. You will not want to miss it. We're going to be talking about the team. We're going to be talking about his goals, that fantastic, really speedy run-up he does for penalties. We're going to be speaking about Pink October, because I know that's close to him and it means a lot, and we want to know all of the events that are going on. It is a real big show tonight. But Paul, Martin, Ollie, thank you. I hope you're all well. Let's do a quick international roundup, because obviously there were a few players in action. Ollie, how was it for you? Because it's always nice to keep an eye on it, but it's tinged, because you'd never want a player to get injured. Yeah. But they are not only representing their country, they're representing the colours of Charlton as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I was a bit... I was really pleased to see Johnny Williams and Tom Lockyer start for Wales against Croatia. Croatia obviously being World Cup finalists. Really, really strong team. And both of them chosen to play alongside people like, Gareth Bale.
Aaron Ramsey,
Luka Modric, things like that. It was really, really pleasing to see them. But again, I was really happy to see Johnny Williams get subbed uninjured at 60 minutes. So.
Fair enough.
Yeah, he can't do a full 90 minutes, boy, can he? But yeah, it was good to see him all get a game. I think Conor Gallagher got 3 minutes for the under-21s.
Yeah, I was watching.
It's they all come back unscathed, thankfully.
Yeah, excellent. Tom Lockyer, I think, played a full game in both games, and obviously the Conor Gallagher, that was a promotion for him, because I think he was originally set up for the under-20s and got the promotion to the under-21s. And there was a nice little video clip of him training with the under-21s on the Charlton website for all to see this week. And I think Lecco also turned out for the under-20s. So, all in all, very good. Cullen, I think, was an unused substitute for the Republic of Ireland. But thank God, no injuries to report, because obviously the last time we had the international break, poor old Lyle, who's coming on, suffered over at Montserrat.
But a quick little one. I know he's an ex-player, but Joe Aribo scoring against Brazil.
I was going to mention it, but I'm glad you did, Ollie. Sorry.
That's really, hashtag made in Charlton.
I like that.
Unbelievable that Joe Aribo, thinking about it last year, he was playing in League One with us since the playoff final and that. And next thing you know, he's scoring against Brazil, the best football team in the world.
And a great goal as well.
Great goal.
And I think a little dig at Lee Bowyer in his post-match.
Oh, did he?
What did he really, Mark? What did he say? Subtle dig, was it?
A little
backhanded one.
That's why I went to Rangers sort of thing. That sort of, but
I'll tell you that.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Paul?
Well, I was going to say, we were delighted to have Joe Aribo on the Charlton Fan Show last season. So it's great that he's moved on and scoring against the likes of Brazil. It's fantastic.
Yeah, no, it's a good way to be. You wish him all the best, even if he's making comments like that. It's not the greatest to hear, but fair play to him. There wasn't no football, obviously, on the weekend, but obviously news today, Lee Bowyer has been given a free match touchline ban by the FA for his endeavours or his discretions this season so far. Paul, what did you make of that?
Yeah, it's come a bit early this time because I think his main suspension last season was following a sending off at Wimbledon in the second half of the season, around about February or March, and he got a similar punishment then. So he's getting this one out of the way early.
Well, didn't he get done for Aaron Herrera with Steve Evans as well?
Yeah, did he get punished for that? I can't remember now.
No, I don't know.
But he certainly got sent off at Wimbledon last season, and he got a touchline ban for that. And I don't think it really concerned him. He's come out this week saying, you know, he's very disappointed and all the rest of it. But as he says, all the work is done Monday to Friday. He's got a great spokesperson in Johnny Jackson, and obviously with all the technology available now, I don't think it's going to make too much difference. I mean, the thing is, Lee Bowyer is not a big talker on the sidelines to his players. He is a big talker to the fourth official, it has to be said.
He is.
So that's the only thing that will be omitted from the games against Derby, Bristol City and West Brom. But I don't think in the whole scheme of things it's going to make such a big deal.
The thing is, you know, we know what Bowyer's like. We knew what he was like as a player. He was never going to go a whole season without getting a tug from the FA. He's you know, and I mean that in the nicest possible sense. You know, he's an emotive bloke, isn't he? And when he sees something that ain't gone right, he's going to say something. And, you know, and that's the dangers of the job, isn't it?
It certainly is. But could we imagine any scenario where this could hinder the team at all, Ollie? You know, it is three games. Could this be a factor for the upcoming fixtures?
Yeah, maybe. But, I mean, as Paul said, we've got Johnny Jackson on the side. He knows exactly the way Bowyer plays, the way Bowyer likes to set up. Bowyer's going to be in contact with him. He's got a walkie-talkie or something. So he's going to let Jacko know exactly what to say and what to say to the fourth official. And so I don't think it'll make a massive difference. I mean, him not being there physically, being able to do it immediately may make a difference slightly, but I don't think it's going to be too bad.
Yeah, just to add to that, I mean, we've got three very good talkers on the sidelines there, as well as Johnny Jackson. We've got Andy Marshall, who gets involved a lot. And also now we've got Grant Basie, who's come on board. So we've got an extensive team who can put any additional messages across. So I don't think there'd be any problem at all.
With the international break, it's a nice time for reflection. Have any of you three looked back on the season so far and just sort of taken stock of how far Charlton have come and where they are currently, obviously, in the league table? Because they are only 2 points outside of those playoff games. Yes, people say it's 11 games in, but that's a fair chunk of the season. You're normally a good yardage or measuring stick will be that 10-game point in a 46-game season. I think we're at the quarter stage. Ollie, have you reflected at all over this?
Yeah, every international break, I spend the most time thinking about Charlton. And I just thought back and where we were at the beginning of the season, what we were expecting, and where we are now is worlds apart. And what we expect from the team now is so different from what we expected overall. We're doing so much better. We're so much stronger. And the team and the players we have, it's so much better than we ever thought it would be. So just looking where we are now, it's such a good position that we were in, and not being in the bottom three where I thought we would be at the beginning of the season is such a plus, and being close to the playoffs, I never would have expected it. So yeah, a bit of context there. We're having a great season.
Exactly. I mean, we wouldn't have expected this. We were in striking distance to the playoffs. We're 10 points above the bottom three. So, and Mr. Bowyer tempered our expectations in the week, didn't he? He said, we want to get to 45. We want to get to 45 points. I still don't think he believes that personally, but I think he's just towing the party line.
No, he is. I think he's brilliant at media speak, or whatever you want to call it, you know, conveying that message through the media. I don't think it's the same one that he's giving the players or the boys, or he might do, because he wants to keep them firmly their feet on the ground. But in what we're hearing from all the fan shows and all the shows across Love Sport, we're hearing that, not that this is a weaker championship this year, but there's no one standout team, because you could mention maybe Leeds, Swansea, they've had their struggles. Forest, could you say them? West Brom, I know they're at the top right now, but no one's really taking this division by the scruff of the neck, by the collar, and saying we're the standout one or two seeds. Would that be fair to say, Mark?
Well, the thing is, if you'd have said to me 5-6 weeks ago, Nottingham Forest to be top of the table, I'd have said no chance. I mean, we literally buried them off the. We battered
them. This is what I mean. You know, they're unbeaten since game day one.
They are, you know, and I weren't that impressed with them when we played them.
Yeah,
but to be, you know, hats off to them. They've done brilliantly. And they're at the top on merit.
Yeah, just going back to your original questions about reflections. I mean, one of the things I sort of sat back and was pleased to sort of think about was that, you know, out of the top seven, we've played four of them, and we've only lost once. We lost to Swansea. We managed draws against what was it, Fulham and Forest, and of course we beat Leeds. So
and Fulham and Forest could have been very, very different.
Yeah, I mean Forest. I mean we
for that first 45 minutes was
we were on fire, and if we'd just taken a couple of chances and got 2-3-0 up, that would have been fantastic. And as you say, Forest are on top. So reflections wise, we can sit back and be very proud of ourselves, that the efforts that have gone in. Lee has just galvanised the club, the team, and most importantly, the fans. The fans are playing such a terrific part in all this. It was announced, I know it's only Millwall, they're only down the road, but the tickets only went on sale on Monday, Charlie, and they were under restricted sale, and they were all sold out by last night. So that's that done. We've got over 1,000 going to Bristol for a midweek fixture next Wednesday. And the West Brom game at the Smithwick's End at West Brom is all sold out as well. So the fans are so behind Lee and the boys. And, of course, the home games as well. Now it's been renamed the Covered End. Everyone is really pulling together. Yeah, and it's fantastic to see. When you think where we were this time last season.
If you see the actual the hysterics over the ticket sales of Millwall, have gone now, and people are literally, all you can see is anyone got a spare
I love
that. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is crazy, because, you know, excuse my maths, I said 2 points out of the playoffs, but it's 4 points from first place. And I know, look, it is still early days and we can get excited, because in the Championship you can win 3 then lose 4 on the bounce, and then, you know, 4 points from top, but you're only 4 points from the bottom half, shall we say. But you have to be looking up at the minute, not rather than down. I know Ollie just mentioned that at the start of the season maybe a relegation fight, but surely, Mark, looking upwards rather
I'm not looking behind. There's not a chance. I'm looking up. That's me. I did that last season. I'm still aiming for the playoffs. Personally, I just think defensively we're good. We've got a really good midfield. Once we get our guests back tonight, score a few goals for us, I think we'll be up there.
We certainly is, and we do have a bit of a knack, I'm going to say it anyway, on Love Sport, for especially the Cheltenham fans. When we have a guest on, they seem to go on and score. I know Lyle's injured at the minute, but it might bring the team a bit of luck. Paul, I want to also bring you in on the fact that Martin said he's not looking behind him. You not so sure?
Yeah, it's my
no, this is the bloke, Paul, that said we'd lose 4-0 at Fulham though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I must admit...
Can't wait for your prediction tonight.
wait and see. But basically, I was a bit disappointed to see Stoke win at Swansea, because I'm thinking...
Yeah, how's it turn up?
Don't start closing the gap too much.
No, you wasn't.
I do, yeah. I mean...
They're on like 4 points.
No, I mean, I love a 12-point gap. That's my yardstick. And is it 10 at the moment?
It's 10. You've only said 12 because you knew it was 10.
No, I tell you...
If it was 9, you would have said 10.
Charlie, the thinking behind 12 is that that's 4 games of wins. So 4 times 3.
Mm, yeah, thank you.
And so I've always had that in my mind. But yeah, I can see Martin and Rob, who's not here tonight. They're so positive. All the younger chaps. But yeah, their main priority is obviously survival. And the 45 points took me a little bit by surprise, because I always thought 50 was the target.
Yeah, because I would say 45 was the, well, not anymore, but the target in the Premier League, which is less games, 38. So I think 50 is a good target for the Championship. But we've alluded to it all evening, and of course it is coming up next. We will be speaking to Lyle Taylor, and you can get involved. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio, or call us on 0208 7020 558, or the SE7 podcast, which I know you've been following. We do want to talk about that, because it broke the 500 mark on the weekend. Love Sport. You are listening to the Cheltenham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the SE7 podcast, Paul Sullivan, Martin Adkins and Ollie Cook. And now it is time to be joined by an absolute legend. It is Lyle Taylor, who joins us on the line. Lyle, thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time this evening. We know you're extremely busy, but just for me and everyone in the studio, it's such a pleasure to have you on. We've obviously had you on the show before. It's obviously a negative at the minute with your injury, but the positive is that this has allowed you to focus more on the pink campaign. What have been some of the things that you've been up to this month, Lyle?
Evening, gents.
Evening, Lyle. How
evening,
you doing?
Lyle.
So it's been a busy one for me, really, because where I'd normally be preparing for games, I'm running around like a blue-ass fly trying to get stuff done in terms of
a pink-ass fly, wasn't it?
And a pink-ass fly, yeah. it's been a different experience for me. Obviously frustrating that I'm not playing and can't play, but this has given me something to kind of to immerse myself in and to concentrate on.
Yeah, Lyle, I mean, you've obviously touched upon your own cancer experiences close to home, but a little while back, just before that playoff final, you came into contact with Life Devoted fan Betty Hutchins, who, who of course, succumbed to this wretched disease back in the spring. I mean, what you did there for Betty's spirit was heartwarming, and then she was able to watch on TV the part you played in our playoff success. I just wanted to say, first of all, thank you. And how was it meeting Bet, who was, of course, one of our staunchest fans?
I mean, you don't have to thank me. I didn't do anything that I don't think anyone else would do, to be completely honest with you. I was given the opportunity to meet her and to meet her family and to, in her own family's words, to give her that last little bit of joy of being able to see us promoted was massive for her and massive for her family. So I'm proud to have been part of that. And there are plenty of other people, Charlton fans and other football fans, who are suffering, have of course, suffered, yeah. And this is for them. This isn't for any other purpose than this will affect a lot of us, unfortunately. And there has to be something that we can do, something more that we can do to stop that happening and stop that being the case.
So, Lyle, what can the fans do on Saturday to help you get involved? You know, the bucket collections, is there anything they can do?
There are bucket collections, yeah. I couldn't tell you how many at the moment. There are going to be a good few, though. I think the last I heard, there were 10 different bucket collections. However many buckets, I don't know how many there will be, but I'm going to be in the club shop. So there's pink merchandise. I believe the club are going to release something on that tomorrow. So I won't say too much on what will be available to be brought. But look, any donation, no matter how big or how small, is welcome and is appreciated. And I thank everybody who wants to be involved and is involved. If anybody wants to wear pink, anything pink, hats, scarves, gloves, I don't know how cold it's going to be, but coats, anything, then please do. And if anyone wants to dye their hair, then make sure they come and find me and have a picture.
Brilliant. And Lyle, you've highlighted that the main reason you've dyed your hair pink is to start a conversation. Obviously, you're well known in football circles, but what enlightening conversations have you had with people who don't know you as Lyle Taylor, the footballer, but this guy coming towards them with a luminous pink hair on the street and perhaps want to ask you why the pink hair?
Well, to be honest with you, with my with what's been limited, my limited time spent outside, simply because I've not been able to walk and things like
that's
that.
True.
There's
that's
not
true.
Been as many conversations as there had been before. But today I was at David Lloyd doing doing a pool session, and a little girl, she could only have been, I don't know, 5 maybe. She said, she just pointed at me in the middle of the corridor in the gym building, and she said, "You've got pink hair." And she turned around to her mum and said, "Mum, I want pink hair now." I turned around to her mum and I said, "Well, it looks like you're gonna be getting some pink hair dye." And she just kind of smiled and laughed and said, "Absolutely no chance." But look, that wasn't a direct conversation about why I do this. But at the end of the day, if she goes home and she sees my ugly mug in the paper or somewhere on the internet, she's going to know and understand why I've got pink hair. So the simple fact of the matter is having pink hair is a beacon. And it's not because I want people to go, "Oh, look at me." It's not about me. It's about allowing other people to almost free themselves of those inhibitions and go, "You know what, let's do something a little bit crazy and let's see what we can do. We can spread awareness, we can raise money and do something that's a little bit different." And it's a visual cue to start that conversation.
And of course, for a really, really good cause as well. So when we're looking at the season on the whole, we've been talking about a little bit that, you know, our manager Lee Bowyer, he's been saying in the press, you know, we're only focused on those 45 points to keep us up, but we don't believe that's really what he believes. What's he been saying in the dressing room in terms of our targets for the season?
Well, the first target is it's safety. So I don't know if he's been saying 45. I don't know what the stats are. I know the stats from League One are, I think it's like 51 points. So I've said the same thing. The first thing for us is safety, guarantee safety. So 50 points, 52, whatever it might be, get to that total. And then we see how many games we've got left and see where we could potentially go. That has to be the aim. We've just been promoted, so we are not one of these established clubs in this league, and we will have to establish ourselves, and that will take a few years. So the most important thing is safety. It's reached the target of safety, which is 45, 50, 52, whatever the manager says it is, and then we'll go from there. So it is reached that. Okay, we might have a team that's, in everyone's opinion, better than that, but by the same token, the goal is to stay in this league initially. So anything more than that's a bonus. So that is the initial target. And should we surpass that and make top half, brilliant. Should we find ourselves in the playoff positions, then even better. But you don't build a house from the top down. So the foundation is 50 points or 45 points or whatever the manager says, and we'll go from there.
Well, Lyle, it's been a brilliant start to the season, not just for Charlton, obviously 4 points off the top, 2 points off the playoffs, but for you yourself in the Championship, 5 goals scored already, and you've been injured. You could have certainly added to that tally. I just have to ask, though, about your penalty routine, because as much as I'm overly confident that you're going to score, I almost have to look away and watch through my hands, because you are known for the slowest penalty routine I've ever seen, and it worries me, because I remember in secondary school we had to do the one step penalty, and bearing in mind I've absolutely got no technique, Lyle, you're a pro, I worry. What made you come up with this routine? Is it something you always done? Is it a mind game with a keeper? Where's it come from?
It was hours spent with our goalkeepers and goalkeeper coach, to be honest. I'd missed two penalties last season, two good saves, to be fair, but I'd missed two penalties, and I thought there had to be a better way. There had to be a way where my conversion rate was better than 2 in 3, which I think it was. So I started working at something every day whereby I could be more accurate, and it eventually went from a slower run-up to a walk. And, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm going to miss. I will miss eventually. It could be the next one, I don't know. I will miss eventually, but I won't stop taking them like this, because it works for me. So while that's the case, I'll keep taking penalties this way.
No, and I think you'll keep scoring, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was going to ask, Lyle, that last penalty you converted at Reading, just out of interest, what did the Reading keeper say to you when you walked that penalty in on that occasion, Lyle?
Well, I saw him, he was playing mind games. He stood over by his right-hand post, and yes. I've watched him the whole way.
Yeah.
And after I'd scored it, he came up to me, and to be honest with you, I can't remember what he was saying. It seems like years ago now. But he would have been saying something, I don't know, maybe disparaging, something inflammatory. And the best way I thought was, look, mate, no disrespect to you, but I've just made you look like an idiot. So you probably just stand in your goal and shut your mouth.
Yeah.
So nice. I just laughed in his face, because I'm not going to start getting into an argument with a goalkeeper. I've just scored. I don't need to start arguing with you.
Yeah.
But by the same token, you've made yourself look like an idiot by coming in my face after I've already scored. So it's a mind game. At the end of the day, he's played his mind games, I've played my games, and I've come out on top in that instance. So hopefully that will be the case for a long, long time.
Keep it up, mate. Keep it up.
and who knows? But if I miss, I fully expect a sledging from whoever. It'll be social media, no doubt. But that's fine. I'll have to be big enough to take that on the shoulders if I miss.
Right, Lyle, Lee sort of like gave us a little update on your injury earlier on in the week. Can you update the fans, let us know where you're at?
So I believe the manager said that I am slightly ahead of schedule, which is good. and I am, as far as I'm aware. But it's difficult because I've not been outside and I've not run, we don't really know where we are. So it could be a case of simply getting fit, or it could be a case of it's a little bit painful, so it could be a few more days. I don't really know. So until I've done a few days of running and come through that unscathed, I won't really know where I am. So that's next week as it stands. I go to see the specialist next week. So hopefully the specialist, as well as a few days running, by next weekend, I should be somewhere near, if all being well, somewhere near kicking a ball again.
Well, Lyle, we're counting the seconds on that one, that's for sure. And it seems like this season, not just this season, because obviously last year as well, getting promoted, you're all so close-knit. The boys really just, there seems to be a great chemistry there. Loads of new signs this year, but not that, without saying the cliche, you all want to fight for each other, but it genuinely seems that. And, you know, all the banter you have over social media, Jason Pierce tweeting with a photo, you know, you want some, where's the backup, lads? And you tweeting back, I would have, bro. It just feels like you're desperate to get back out there with not only your teammates, but your mates, aren't you, Lyle?
Yeah, we are. We're all mates. We're all good friends, and it's a special dressing room, to be honest. In that respect, there's not many dressing rooms in football where everyone is friends and there's no friction. So that's special in itself, and I suppose that comes from the characters the manager's brought in, and that's him doing his homework with regards to who the people are that he's having in his dressing room. I can't wait to be back out there, to be completely honest with you. I'm fed up. I'm so bored, and I'm fed up of not being able to score goals. It's not even training. I don't miss training at all. Training's crap. I just miss playing games. That's not to say the sessions are crap, but
yeah.
We'll
mute that part, Lyle.
No, but in the grand scheme of things, we are footballers. We are paid to perform, and all I want to do is perform. There's nothing given out for performing in training.
Yeah.
So I want to perform on the stage, and the stage is in stadiums with thousands of people watching, and that's where I want to be back to. So I'm hoping I'll be back there sooner rather than later.
Well, listen, Lyle, we really appreciate you coming on the show tonight. Real friend of the show. We've had you on a few times and we really do appreciate it. So just to wrap it up, Lyle, just give us the details of how fans can donate, what they've got to do, the Just Giving page, etc., and how they can up that total for you.
So the giving page has been posted on all of my social medias, on my Twitter and on my Instagram. The link is there, pinned to my Twitter and in the bio of my Instagram. The club tweet it and retweet it almost every day. So anyone who follows the club's Twitter will see that as well. So it's kind of there. It's everywhere. And as I said, any donation that anyone gives is massive, and it's great for us because at the end of the day this is something that affects so many of us and probably will affect so many more of us in the future. So thank you to everyone who has donated, and thank you to everyone who will donate, and thank you to everyone who's been part of this and has made this as much a success as it has been so far. And let's hope for a pink valley and 3 points on Saturday.
Certainly, that's what we're hoping for. Lyle, we wish you the best on the weekend. We wish you the best for the cause for the Pink October and the recovery in your injury. Thank you so much for giving us a little bit of time this evening. Lyle Taylor there, just a real pleasure and honour to have him on. Next, though, we will take a look at those fixtures and what they're coming from October and November and how many of the points tally we're expecting.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Charlton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm joined in the studio by a very special SE7 podcast, Paul Sullivan, Martin Adkins and Ollie Cook. And I say special because not only has this been a very special show, we just heard from Lyle Taylor, but the podcast Twitter is absolutely flying. I want to say congratulations. Yeah. We've got to do a bit of house cleaning. Mark, please, what is the news on the Twitter?
Well, yeah, I mean, we started just under a year ago, and we've been working our way through, and I did it last Friday, I think it was. I said, come on, get us up to 500 followers, and bosh, we shot through that figure, and the magic 500 man was at Jimmy Kipps. He follows us. Thank
Cheers,
you
Jimmy.
Very much, Jimmy. Thanks for following. So get onto Twitter. SE7Pod is our Twitter name and Twitter handle. And we tweet regularly through games and during the week.
Yeah, and certainly you can always put forward a question for the show hear it every week. But, you know, it's great. Not only Lyle Taylor last week, the week before, Macaulay Barn, then Paul Mortimer. Really great that you're all part of it and it's only growing. Another big part of the show, because we said special show, is another tradition. Ahmed has joined us. Yeah. Of course he has. Ahmed, I know you want to talk about the international break and the players and obviously the game on the weekend. How are you feeling? Are you following the pod?
Yes, I am. No, I'm feeling very confident. I think I was going to say. The international break's been good for the team because it's allowed them to have a relaxing, sort of refreshing, re-energising recuperation. As far as
that was four good words there, Ahmed.
Where was your alliteration, Ahmed? You normally give us alliteration of the same letter. I'm a bit disappointed. Paul's giving you credit.
I'll try my best.
Yeah,
your homework for next week.
Yeah, all right, homework. Thank you.
Mind you, Ahmed, you're usual mellifluous self tonight.
That's a good one.
That's a big word.
Yeah, I'll be honest, not only can't I spell it, I don't even know what it means. So Ahmed, can we talk
about
football?
I haven't heard of it either.
Full of
flow. It must
flow.
Be addict speak or something
full
like
of flow.
That.
It's a word I got from Johnny Burrow.
Unbelievable. I'm out the door. Paul's just literally signed me off. I've only bigged up the podcast and, you know, Lyle Taylor's, and now he said Johnny Burrow's got better language than me. Unbelievable.
Turned it round.
Cheers, mate. I appreciate you. Checks in a post. Ahmed, are you worried that the international break can hinder the great momentum and form that Charlton have currently?
I think it can, but also I think it's a good time to, as I said, get sort of re-energise us and get back injured players, you know, build and have a bit more to build on for the next round of games, basically, you know?
Yeah, we see the two lads that we got from Brighton, Kyle and Hemed, they're back training now, so that we could see them finally playing together for Charlton, apparently, after the international break.
That
so you
would
might
be
right.
Good, because a lot of the Brighton fans, they say that how good they are.
Problem
they
is,
keep saying that when they play together, they're like the perfect foil between the two of them.
Problem is, Ahmed, are you going to drop to put Kyle in the team?
I think that this is the problem. I mean, Lee's got so a bag of riches in all positions. Mm. it must make
it's a nice problem to have,
real
isn't
headache.
It?
I would have thought, just making who's going to play where and what.
I don't think it's a question of dropping. I don't think that's the mentality the team have, because Lee, notoriously, every game will chop and change.
Yeah.
And I don't think the players are thinking to themselves, oh, I played really well on Saturday. It's like George Lapsley had a great game up at Ewood Park.
Yeah.
And then Lee said to him, look, you've done nothing wrong, George. Just keep doing what you're doing. And really hasn't been seen that much since. But George feels part of it. It's part of the team. And it's the ethos that Lee pushes through. So with that mentality, it's great to have, and it's that team spirit that will carry us forward.
I agree with that. I'm old-fashioned, though. Why change a winning team and don't let's tinker too much from game to game?
Because
we've seen in the past what that can lead to, unfortunately. It is hard. You're right, but he's got to pick 11 players plus 7 subs, and he's got a lot of thinking to do game to game in terms of how he's going to approach tactically and the personnel that's available.
And Ahmed, one person that was present for us throughout last season was Christian Billick, who's actually come up against us on Saturday.
I thought he was out injured. Well, I gather he wasn't not out injured then.
Well, then he won't be.
Well, we'll ask our Derby guest about that when he comes on. Yeah,
we certainly will. Ahmed, thank you so much for calling. Always a tradition when you're on. We appreciate it every week, Ahmed. There. Well, let's look at those next fixtures, because we've done this last time before. It was the Leeds, Swansea, and Fulham. We was predicting 9 points. Didn't work out that way, but it very nearly could have been. Let's look at the games until the next international break. It's obviously this weekend against Derby, which we'll take a deeper dive into. Then it's Bristol City away on Wednesday. Then it's West Brom away, another away game. Then Preston at home. And then before that, the last game before the international break, it's Millwall away. 5 games. What are you expecting in a return of a points tally? I won't start with you, Paul, because I'm still annoyed at you. We'll go this way round. Mark?
Do you know what, right? Honestly, out of them 5 games, I reckon the fans would be happy if we just beat Millwall.
Really?
No. Yeah.
No, I not do. With the way the start of the season, Mark. Come on.
I swear to God, I reckon some would be, but... Joking aside, I think win the
15 points there on offer.
Well, I want to win the home games and maybe win one away game, i.e. Millwall, and nick a point at one of the others.
So 10 out of 15 there?
Yeah, I'd be happy with that.
Ollie?
Yeah, probably the same, to be fair. Yeah, it's a really, really tough run in. Derby, Bristol, West Brom and
they're
Preston.
They're all tough runs in the Championship, aren't
these
they?
These teams are all doing really well, flying big budgets, big teams, big players. The most winnable game there is Millwall, and we haven't won against Millwall since basically the year I was born. So, I've never seen Charlton beat Millwall.
Time we beat Millwall, Lee Bowyer scored.
Right, well, that sounds something. But it only takes one win in the Championship. You win the first one of that five-game run, and it can galvanise the squad. There you go, Paul, galvanise. I've looked at me thesaurus. It's the best I can do, three syllables. Let's talk about that. If they get the result on the weekend to Derby, can that be the momentum kick for Charlton in that five-game streak?
Yes and no. I've actually got us down for a win on Saturday. And Yes, I think we can do it. I've got a lot of respect for Derby because they're obviously getting a bit of momentum up because they've just won two home games on the bounce. And I think that Martin goal at Leeds has galvanised them. There's the word again, Charlie. Looking ahead to Bristol City, looking at their game against Reading last time out, I was quite encouraged.
Should look at that because next time I see you will be Thursday and this game would have also been played. It's two games since
we'll have a look at both games. So we'll talk about Bristol. And basically, Reading really came on to Bristol. I mean, Reading have obviously been in the doldrums. They've just sacked their manager, Gomez. A lot of people were saying they're not playing a great side. But Reading really came at Bristol. And I think we'd be good for a draw there down at Ashton Gate. I think there's plenty to be optimistic about as far as scoring down there. I think West Brom could be a bridge too far. I know we did very well at Fulham and, of course, against Leeds. But, I mean, a lot of respect for West Brom. They are true pedigree, I think, in this division. Preston is the one I'm really struggling with to put a prediction on because they've had a marvellous start to the season and I like the way they've been growing over the last couple of seasons and of course they've got our Patrick Bauer now. And Millwall, I think it will be the Lee Bowyer effect. I really do believe that we're going to finish off our curse
and the hoodoo will be lifted at the U-Den.
What would be the points tally for you, the minimum that you'd be happy with, Paul?
Seven.
Seven? You'd be happy with that seven?
I don't know about happy, but
you're
that's
expecting
what I expect.
Seven. Yeah. All right, let's quickly look at that Bristol City game because obviously it's two games since we next beat. We're going to do a deeper dive into that game against Derby on the weekend. But let's look at them. It's hard because obviously their match on the weekend, we don't know how that's going to go against Luton. They play Luton, which is away. But before the international break, very draw central for Bristol. They are in the playoffs, but it was 0-0 to Swansea, 3-3 against Preston, 1-1 against Brentford, and then they beat Reading. It is draws, but they're still being unbeaten, so it's a nice unbeaten streak they're going on. What would you say about the Bristol City game, Paul?
Well, yeah, you're right. I mean, they're unbeaten in 10 in total, so they had that opening day defeat at home to Leeds. But looking at their side, they've obviously lost a key talisman in Benikofobi.
Yeah.
I think he's out for the season. So
real big loss there.
Massive loss. But I think they've got a lot of youngsters.
They've just signed a striker as well, Rodri from Barcelona B, to help that loss.
Was that in the last couple of days?
Yeah, it was. Burrow didn't tell you that, did he?
No, I'll tell you what. No, but what? don't give me this. Johnny Burrow.
Hey, and, get in there.
One all. No, but funny enough, Lee Johnson was commenting on the fact he was going out to Marbella to do a bit of scouting, so that's what he's come back with. So well done, Lee Johnson, for doing his work there. But yeah, just looking and delving a little bit deeper beyond the Afobis of this world. I mean, they've got probably a premiership keeper in the making down there, Daniel Bentley, who used to play for Southend and Brentford. He's a first-class goalkeeper. And, of course, they've got the old Stuart in the back there who played for Wales in the 2016 Euro Championships, Ashley Williams.
They have, yeah. Oh, wow.
So very good, and some very good youngsters. And I think this expenditure in the summer was very high.
It was.
Along with the likes of Reading.
They want to get promoted this year. That's the feeling from them. They are typically good at home as well. But we have to talk about the Derby game now. It's strange times at Derby, obviously, at the minute. Rooney's going to join in January. It is Charlton Derby on the weekend. And next, we'll be talking to Richard Cusack all about that game.
Love Sport.
The opposition view, of course, it's time for that. You are listening to the Charlton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm joined in the studio with Paul Sullivan, Martin Atkins, and Ollie Cook from the SE7 podcast. And now we're joined by the very special Richard Cusack, the Midlands sports writer, and now to talk a little bit about Derby because the Championship is back this weekend. It's a huge fixture on the weekend. It always is the first game back from the international break. But how will Derby be feeling about this one, Richard?
Good evening, guys. They'll be heading into it on the back of a 5-match unbeaten run. So
yeah,
they'll be full of confidence. Full of confidence.
Yes, Richard, we are wary of Derby. Obviously, you've had a lot to go through in recent weeks with the shenanigans of Mr. Lawrence, Mr. Bennett, Mr. Keogh. But I think that momentum also was picked up with that goal by Chris Martin at Leeds. And obviously, you've had two home wins on the spin. Do you think there's a bit of a turnaround now in the way you dealt with the behind-the-scenes problems, that you're able to get those two home wins and you're able to kick on?
Yeah, certainly. I think the upturn in form, obviously, Derby's first home win of the season came a 3-2 defeat of Birmingham last month. And that came, obviously, after the story broke with regards to the car crash and stuff and the arrest. And what Derby have managed to do is that they've managed to sort of put that behind them and create a bit, this almost like a siege mentality, and almost sort of kick on, and Philip Cook, who's really managed to get the lads going. A 5-match unbeaten run, their first home wins of the season. Obviously, it all kicked off really from the late goal from Chris Martin, another goal from Chris Martin against Leeds earlier last month. So what they've done is he's not had the greatest of time with regards to preparation. What happened with the Brentford debacle before the last international break, Derby really seems to have put that behind them. And I think he's benefited from having an awful lot more time on the training ground. And 2 weeks was certainly most welcome after the Brentford match. And it'll be interesting to see now what he's managed to almost drill into the lads on the training pitch over the last 2 weeks. So I know they've obviously had some off-field issues, but I think that's going to be key for someone like Philip Cocker, who didn't have the greatest of pre-seasons and greatest of summers with regards to drilling his methods in and getting the guys to play exactly how he wants to.
Evening, Richard. I actually don't know many Derby fans myself, so I really wanted to ask you the question about the surprising news that Wayne Rooney's going to be joining you. What are the opinions of an average Derby fan when they heard that news? Is it excitement or is it confusion?
A lot of the Derby fans, I am one myself, and a lot of the Derby fans I do speak to, it's almost like the excitement that his arrival was almost like it was a hoax when somebody reported that he was initially coming. Everyone thought it was silly season and all the rest of it, but obviously it's happening now. It always makes me, whenever somebody asks me on the radio, I've been asked a few times by on this station about it, and I always have to think myself, right, well, I completely forgot about that, because it just feels like it was all a dream. But I think with regards to Wayne Rooney's arrival, it can be viewed as almost a bit of a... It's going to be great for Derby's commercial reach and Derby's, from a marketing standpoint, the same way that Frank Lampard was. Derby, they were on TV almost every other week. We all know the jokes about Frank Lampard's Derby County. Well, Mel Morris, the owner, must have looked at the elevation and profile that Derby got as a result of Lampard's appointment, and Wayne Rooney coming in. If he can have a similar impact, then it'll be great for Derby. But I think the key thing for the club will be on the pitch. What sort of impact will he have? We know that he wants to come in and come in as a player coach. That'll be his role. But on the playing side, it's going to be so interesting to see how a player like Wayne Rooney, who we know has led DC United into the MLS playoffs, he only moved to DC last year from Everton. He was playing Premier League football 18 months ago, wasn't he? And scoring goals from halfway against West Ham a little under 2 years ago. So that's something that's going to be really, really interesting to see how it all plays out. And a lot of the Derby fans who I've spoken to are really, really looking forward to seeing how it plays out, for better or for worse.
So going to the game on Saturday, Richard, who should we be looking out for? I mean, obviously we've got Martin Waghorn, who we know well at Charlton. We had him on loan for a while. But who's your main danger man this season, do you think?
Well, it's funny because I've been doing a bit of research, and Chris Martin, he's really come to the fore. he was out. He was in the wilderness under Lampard. He was loaned out to Hull. He was loaned out to Fulham a couple of seasons before, at Reading as well. And obviously, we know about Chris Martin. Charlton fans might know the name. He was a very prolific goal scorer for Derby. I think he scored 20 goals in three consecutive seasons. He was very good. And if you look at the last time Derby actually travelled to the Valley in April 2016. Some of the names on there, Tom Ince, George Vaughan, Jacob Butterfield, Johnny Russell, Craig Bryson, those guys, they've all moved on since. But Chris Martin is still in that team, and he's going to be, he will, with Richard Keogh being out injured and Scott Carson at Manchester City, he is likely to start at the Valley. And what a resurgence in terms of Chris Martin's career it'll be for him to start on Saturday, given that he was out of the picture all that time ago. But a couple of key injury lines. Christian Bielik, Derby's record signing. You guys obviously know all about him, don't you, Charlton fans? I mean, he picked up a knock in training with Poland, but he will be fit. Philip Cocu confirmed in his press conference today he will be fit. So obviously he's going to be one to look out for. Jaden Bogle's back on the comeback trail. He was fantastic against Luton last time out. He'll start again, we hope. Tom Huddleston picked up an injury at Barnsley, taking that penalty earlier this month in the 2-2 draw at Oakwell. He's going to be sidelined for a couple of months. So Derby have got a good squad. Mason Bennett and Tom Lawrence, they're back in contention as well. I mean, I know Lawrence started last time at Bennett. Bennett was with the under-23s. He's back in the contention to make the matchday squad. So Derby they're firing on all cylinders in terms of injury and sort of suspension. That's a Cocker's got a strong squad to pick from.
Richard, we have to put you on the spot. What is your score prediction for the weekend?
I'm going to go for a 2-1 win for Derby. I can't really say anything else. I think that I'm backing them to continue their unbeaten run, but I think Lee Bowyer's Charlton, what a job Lee Bowyer's done. A word for him, by the way. I can't see Derby keeping him out, but I think Derby might have enough quality on the day with the informed players I've got just to edge this one.
Oh, Derby win. Richard, we really appreciate you coming on. You've not made any friends in the studio. Richard Cusack there, a Midland sports writer. I have to turn my attentions to you three in the studio. How do you think the game will play out, and what is your score prediction? Ollie, I'll start with you.
They're a really strong squad, really good team. But, you know, Lebo, you can't ever count them out. So I'm going to say 2-1 Charlton.
2-1 Charlton, Mark.
Oh, I fancy a 3-0.
Wow.
I do. I fancy us on Saturday.
Do you know what? I'm not crazy on Derby. I don't think they've been great. I've watched a bit of them this year. I know they're on a good run, but I think they're really beatable. I thought they would fold after the incidents, but weirdly, it did spur them on to do stronger. Paul, where do you stand on the game on the weekend?
Yeah, I think Derby have a lot of threats, but I think if we can be on our game, I'm going for a 3-1 Charlton win.
Wow, and if you're saying 3-1, that is a strong, bold prediction.
I've always had faith in my boys.
Yeah, we're not so sure about that. It is 3-1 and 3-0, and Ollie...
Well, why is I over the worst?
Yeah, disappointed. But as always, there are two games. We're going to be talking about the game against Derby and the game against Bristol City next weekend. Let's do a score prediction for the Bristol City game, because I won't see you otherwise.
Yeah, good one.
Yeah, Paul, do you want to start?
2-2.
2-2, yeah, good one, 2-2.
I think we might lose that one, 2-1.
Oh, 2-1.
5-0 Charlton.
5-0 Charlton.
I'll bring it back.
He's brought it back, Ollie. Fair play. Well, this has been the Charlton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with the SE7 podcast. Paul Sullivan, Martin Atkins and Ollie Cook. You can catch us every Thursday, 9 to 10. We will review both games and probably we'll have another Charlton superstar on our hands.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.